My wife, for Christmas, she bought me several books, but one book she bought me was a Holy, 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 Proclaiming the Perfections of God, and it has a lot of who's who's authors in Christian work that wrote chapters. Each one wrote a chapter in the book, and the book really got me thinking about something that I could apply to my own life. So let's look at some texts, and we're going to talk about something that I discovered. Okay, Isaiah 6. Verses 1 through 5. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. All right, let's flip over to 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter 1. Verses 13 through 16, and then we're going to look at one verse in chapter 2. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And then if you'll flip over just right there to verse chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for whom his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, so we know in Leviticus it says, For I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves, therefore be holy, for I am holy. Even in our Sunday school today, Greg and Fred and Jerry in Ephesians 1:4 said, Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So there's two simple things about holiness when you look at Scripture that's pretty self-evident. First of all, God's holy, definitely. But the second thing is that we're to be holy. So here's the thing I want you to ask yourself. How would you define holy? And what does it mean to be holy? How would you define it? What does it mean? D.A. Carson wrote a chapter in this book. And he said, sometimes you might use an etymological way to do that. In other words, you just break the word down, you know, break it into its roots. And when you break holy down into its roots, you know, you're going to come to it means separate and stress that God is utterly separate. But here's the thing. Carson made a great point. Are the angels that we just read in Isaiah 6, are they saying separate, separate, separate is the Lord Almighty? Does that sound right? And Carson says, no, I don't know if that necessarily sounds right. And then you look at some things in the Bible. You know, here's one thing about it. I didn't bring a prop this time, but I could have. Can a shovel be holy? A shovel. Well, it can be holy. In Numbers 4, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the shovel that takes the ashes from the altar is holy. And a matter of fact, if the wrong people touched the utensils of God, what happened? They had to die. So D.A. Carson points out, a shovel is not moral in itself. A shovel is holy because it's reserved exclusively for God's service in his work. Now, some of you might say, well, still being holy deals with being moral or acting moral or making proper decisions or actions. But Carson asks this question, are the angels around the throne of God really saying moral, moral, moral? The Lord is moral. He said, once again, that doesn't really sound right. So I'm going to read a quote from him. He says, in the tightest concentric circle, holy is almost an adjective for God. God is God. God is holy. And even the angels of the highest order cover their faces with their wings as they join in the paeans of praise of the heavenly host and cry, you are God, you are God, you are God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. I cannot get closer to the word than that. So we know that the presence of God makes something automatically holy. How do we know that? We think about Moses in the burning bush. Here's an area of land that the day before was just a bush and some dirt. The next day, there's a bush that's burning, but it won't consume. And what does God tell Moses? He says, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. So Carson says this, only God is holy. Only God in the ultimate sense is holy. But the entailments of his holiness wash out in concentric ways. Thus, holiness becomes a communicable attribute of God. It's something that can be communicated. You want to know my problem in confession today? I want comfort. I want success. I want things to go well. I want to be treated nicely and fairly. Not special, just fairly. I don't want to be the victim of hate, false attacks, mean people, gossip. I don't want to be the victim of those things. But here's a question I want to ask you that I've really been convicted about in my own life. When are the attributes of God most vividly communicated in our lives? Is it in the good or is it in the bad? When is the biggest opportunity for God to communicate his traits through you? Is when things are going good or things are going bad. When life's easy or it's difficulty. I saw Tom Brady today, Super Bowl Sunday. I saw Tom Brady do an interview last week. And one of his little fans asked him the question. He said, Mr. Brady, what do you do about all the haters? Who saw that? Anybody see that? And Tom Brady, well, all right. He said what? He said, you just love them. You just love them. And it was a great answer. But you know the problem with that answer? You know, and I was thinking, yeah, if I won five Super Bowls, had five rings, I could say love them too. You know, that's real easy for Tom Brady to tell somebody love them. Now, it was the right answer. But I, even in my own cynicalness, said, oh, that's easy for him to say. So maybe God has a purpose for injustice. Maybe God has a purpose for mistreatment. Maybe God has a purpose for persecution. All right, listen to this. This is a quote by Derek Thomas. Maybe you're facing some unimaginable trial or difficulty today. So maybe you're thinking, how in the world can I be holy when I've got this trial? If the Lord would take this trial away, then I might be holy. But God is saying, this is why the trial is there, to make you holy. It is to bring to you to an end of yourself. So maybe your situation is not about you. Maybe God's trying to reach down to someone else. Maybe he wants you to take your eyes off yourself and the difficulties that you're going through and start to process the idea of being holy and trying to communicate those qualities of God. I'll quote Jerry Edeker today. Jerry said, we hate the sins of others worse than our own sins quite often. You know, the sins of others can keep you up at night. Somebody says something really mean to you, it's hard to shake it off. But do you have that same thing when you're dealing with your own sin? So think about what it means to be holy and what's you're going through in your lives as we go to our prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, you tell us that we are jars of clay with a treasure that belongs to God. You say in your word that we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our bodies. Lord, we know your grace is sufficient. We know your power is made perfect in weakness. And help us to somehow, through our difficulties and trials of life, to communicate attributes of God that people cannot explain, that they may not see us in our sinfulness, but they may see you in us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.